Grant us, O Lord, this holy week to draw closer to Thee, and now open our hearts to Your Word and Your Word to our hearts. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. As you know, during this holy week, my theme is the other side of the cross. And tonight, the title is Watching and Waiting for the Kingdom. And we're trying to work out how this Holy Week might challenge our discipleship and move us on a little more in the Christian faith. Sadly, the disconnect of the Western Church from Orthodox churches at the time of the Reformation, I think, has robbed us of great liturgical riches. We tend, in our tradition, not to make too much of Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday of Holy Week, known in Orthodoxy as Great Monday, Great Tuesday, and Great Wednesday, or Spy Wednesday. More about that tomorrow. And in the Eastern tradition, as I said yesterday, there is the tradition that these few days focus on Christ as bridegroom, and an analogion, a little table, is put there with an icon of Christ going into the tomb instead, of course, into the chamber where he will meet the bride. And on this day, in Orthodox churches, the gospel is read, such as we read this evening, which is the story of the 10 maidens, or 10 virgins, wise and foolish ones. And it will probably help us to understand that we're not talking about mature women, we're talking about girls in their early teens, 11 to about 14 years of age. And we tend to read that passage as if it's all about the coming of the Lord. And so we read that normally at Advent. But why should we do that? Because it's just as appropriate at this time of the year. The theme, key word, is watch, watch. And that links in with, of course, Jesus in Gethsemane telling his disciples to watch and to pray. And I'm going to take a little liberty and translate that as wait, and I'll tell you why a little later. Now, this 2,000-year-old story most likely comes from Jesus himself, or it might have been one going around at the time. And it depicts a very familiar story that had been going on for hundreds of years. The scene is an Eastern wedding, always celebrated at night, late evening. And the climax of such a wedding comes when the bridegroom sets out with his best men to fetch his beloved bride and they to bring her in procession to his own home. And we notice the difference at once between Eastern and Western weddings, where we are used to the bride being late. In this case, it's the bridegroom who keeps everyone waiting a very long time indeed. So in our imagination, we can see these young girls sitting there and dozing as they wait. And you will note from the story that there's no criticism of them sleeping, because in that ancient world, there wasn't much in the way of streetlight. People in their family groups would make up their own entertainment or probably increase the size of their families. So it wasn't falling asleep that was the problem, but the fact that 5 of them hadn't brought along enough oil for an emergency. And you can imagine the little, like, gravy boats that would have been the little oil lamps. And suddenly a voice is heard. The bridegroom is on his way. Get ready. The 5 neglectful girls then say to the others, lend us some oil. Our lamps are on the way out. Now, wouldn't it make a pleasant change if, for once, the wise girls had said, delighted. Help yourself. We're happy to share with you. Not a bit, they said. Go down to Walmart's and get your own. So we can understand the panic, can't we? The disappointment of the five girls as they return much later to the feast only to find the door shut. But we're special. We wait on in attendance on the bride. We have to be there. But the gatekeeper knows his job. He says, I don't know anything about you. I'll lose my job if I allow you in. And you will notice that the girls waited. They waited, of course, but they didn't watch. Waiting and watching are two aspects of the same reality about caring for something deeply. Now, the usual interpretation of the story, as I've already said, is that Christ is going to come in glory, so the waiting is to do with the future. The church has put that story into the future advent, but it has a much wider application, I believe. And I think there's a lesson for all of us. And it's an application that I think that should get our attention. It's this. Jesus is saying that in life, there come moments when he calls us to take further responsibilities upon ourselves, when his hand rests on our shoulder and he says to us, this is the moment I've been preparing you for. The time has come. Do you remember the words of William Shakespeare in Julius Caesar when he says, there's a tide in the affairs of men which, taken at the flood, leads on to fortune. Omitted, all the voyage of their life is bound in shallows and in miseries. On such a full sea are we now afloat, and we must take the current when it serves, or lose our ventures. And those familiar and very wonderful words state what many of us have found in life, that suddenly something has opened to us that takes us on a journey beyond our wildest dreams. And in Julius Caesar, Brutus reminds Cassius that the moment has come. If you strike now, you can defeat Octavius and Antony, but if you hesitate, the tide will turn. Now, in Jesus' story, we are told that the moment comes at midnight. At midnight. A midnight usually denotes the darkest point of the night. And by inference, we can read into that. Sometimes the bridegroom's hand comes on our shoulder when it's a point of crisis. It doesn't have to be a major calling to be the next president of the United States. That is up for someone else in a couple of years' time, or to become the next CEO of Apple. It could be anything that opens up a fresh start, a new opening, a promising new chapter. The waiting turns to watching when you see the significance of the moment. My mind flashes back some 40 years, maybe more. I was vicar of St. Nicholas's in Durham. I was in my second year there. And I was very worried about our lack of youth work. We had nothing going on at all, and I wanted to start something. And you know, something like that is so difficult to get going. And then suddenly, Monday morning it was, the doorbell rang. And I met, on the doorstep was an elderly man. He'd just retired to Durham. He's a businessman. His name was David White. He came into my study and introduced himself. And he said, I was in church yesterday, and I wonder what I can do to help you. Now, anyone who says that to a priest mustn't be surprised if he's kissed on both cheeks and his feet as well. What can you do? I said to David. And then David began to depress me. He said, well, I can't preach. I can't teach. I'm not particularly good with people. And I don't want to work with teenagers. And so it went on like that. So I began to sort of take back my metaphorical kisses. And then desperately, I approached it a different way. I said, what do you have to offer? And David redeemed himself by saying, I have a boat, and it's moored at Oldswater and the lakes. Can I take some youngsters sailing? And that was the moment that I'd been waiting for. From that inauspicious beginning, a wonderful youth work which continues to this very day that we called water sports. And it became the backbone of all the youth work in our church. So here is Jesus on the eve of the greatest moment of his life. Was there any hesitation, any tremors, any doubts, any fears, any worries? Of course there must have been. He'd been waiting for this moment all his life. He'd been preparing for it. His Father had sent him towards this great final week. He was ready to do his Father's will. And for us as modern Christians today, there are many moments that come, not one, when the waiting turns to watching and the watching turns to deciding. I'm reminded of the wonderful words of Edmund Burke, who was one of the greatest prime ministers of England, in my opinion. And he once said this: "No one has made a greater mistake than the person who, because he could do so little, did nothing." And it's that kind of thing I'm talking about now. We can all do something that makes a difference, when taken on the flood, may lead to fortune. And the young girls lost their opportunity to serve because, although they had been waiting, they hadn't been watching, and therefore they were not ready. And we can make our own excuses, can't we? I'm too busy, I'm too young, I'm too old, I'm too bothered, I'm too harassed, I'm too tired. But it only takes one simple yes to transform our present into a fresh new tomorrow, and midnight turns into a new dawn. In the name of God, Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen.